Welcome to today's deep dive into the Conversational AI Watch newsletter excerpts. Our mission today is to uncover how governments and healthcare systems are battling AI chatbots that are, well, pretending to be therapists. Like, a reporter in Pennsylvania just asked five different bots, Nomi.ai and Replica, for medical licenses.
Right, and they just made them up.
Yeah, without missing a beat, all five just confidently generated completely fake numbers. Regulating AI mental health tools right now is honestly like trying to leash a ghost. You know, you see it interacting with the world, but the moment you try to put a collar on it, your hands just pass right through.
Exactly. And that ghost is currently wearing a stolen lab coat, you know. To understand why those chatbots forge licenses so easily, I mean, you have to look at the underlying mechanics. Large language models are essentially just hyper-advanced next word predictors eager to fulfill a prompt.
Right. They don't actually know they aren't doctors.
Exactly. So if you ask for a license number, the system will cheerfully hallucinate a sequence of digits because, mathematically, that is the most probable next response. It won't just admit it lacks credentials.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because that eagerness to please is running headfirst into real-world healthcare, sparking these massive political clashes. In Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs just vetoed an AI mental health regulation bill that passed 28-0 in the state Senate. Complete bipartisan support.
I have to push back here. I mean, isn't some regulation better than none? Why kill a unanimous bill entirely just over the fine amount?
Well, because setting the wrong standard can actually be worse than having no standard. The Arizona bill capped fines at $1,000 per violation, with a strict maximum of $500,000.
Which is just a drop in the bucket for those massive tech corporations. Oh, completely. They can just write it off as an operational expense. But more importantly, the bill stripped away the private right to sue. If a chatbot hallucinates bad medical advice that, say, harms a child, the family wouldn't be able to take the company to court. The actual teeth of a law matter far more than just requiring a warning label on an app.
Right. If a company just cuts a tiny check and keeps operating, nothing changes. That means you, interacting with these tools on your phone, are left without a safety net. So states are trying different blueprints to forge real consequences. Like Hawaii is looking at using consumer protection laws to unleash uncapped damages.
Which means the penalty scales to match the harm.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Democrat-led Colorado and Republican-led Vermont just mandated a strict clinician-in-the-loop rule, proving this is a bipartisan floor.
Yeah, and that rule is crucial because it dictates the software's back-end architecture. A clinician-in-the-loop requirement means the AI cannot unilaterally generate and send a therapeutic intervention.
It has to have a human involved.
Right. The AI flags patterns or drafts responses, but a licensed human must review and approve the action. It forces a human back into the software's feedback loop.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. While states are building these human guardrails, the tech industry is sprinting the other way. Anthropic just integrated its AI, Claude, directly into Slack. And workers disclose stress and burnout in workplace messaging apps all the time. Putting Claude in Slack without safety nets is like opening a therapy office in a corporate break room, but the therapist is just a highly articulate parrot.
What's fascinating here is that the articulate parrot analogy hits the technical reality perfectly. Slack doesn't have the deterministic safety classifiers needed to catch a mental health crisis.
Like hard-coded rules that trigger a suicide hotline number.
Exactly. Dedicated health apps have those rigid routing mechanisms. Claude in Slack doesn't. This Wild West landscape is why the FTC and the FDA are finally moving after months of silence. They are demanding empirical evidence rather than relying on anecdotes. They want hard data on what actually happens when generative AI gives bad advice in an unmoderated environment.
If the unregulated landscape is that risky, it raises the question of whether mental health AI can ever be deployed safely. But the blueprint already exists. The UK's NHS is using an AI tool called WISA, and out of 117,000 waitlisted patients, 19% reached full clinical recovery using the AI before ever seeing a human.
Wow, yeah. And it safely caught 1.9% of at-risk users and instantly routed them to human crisis lines.
So what does this all mean? The AI acts like a brilliant waiting room triage nurse, not the head surgeon.
Precisely. It works because it doesn't attempt to diagnose. It supplements. The AI is restricted to delivering pre-approved cognitive behavioral techniques. The human clinician remains the ultimate decision maker on the patient's broader care plan. This specific architecture protects patients while actively easing massive systemic bottlenecks.
Right. It gathers context, offers immediate coping exercises, and flags the severe cases for the doctor. As these tools integrate into the apps you use daily, Knowing whether you're talking to a highly regulated tool or an open-ended parrot is critical.
It's the difference between getting care and getting dangerously misled.
Definitely. But it leaves you with a final question to ponder. If 19% of NHS patients fully recover just by interacting with a compliant AI on a waitlist, what happens to the human therapy industry when AI inevitably becomes the world's default first responder?